The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Everyone, welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and for the first time this week, we are face-to-face. Happy day. The show's always much more fun when we are face-to-face, and a little arm wrestling in between. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And I'm going to tell our listeners a little secret.
Oh, are you sure you want to do this?
Right. So when the show starts off and Janet makes the announcement, that means she's here with me. When I make the announcement starting the show off, that means Janet is somewhere else.
Far, far away.
So today we're together, like Janet said. And, you know, I have a question. You know, the role of a physician is to help patients. And you would think that to help patients in the best way they know how, or the best way that's known to help patients. So then I want to know, how did it ever happen that the only ways they're allowed to help patients is with prescribing drugs or recommending surgery or chemotherapy? Because that's what defines mainstream medicine, otherwise known as allopathic medicine. How did that happen?
I would say it started way back when the pharmaceutical companies were owned by economic barons that actually were able to steer situations. They funded the medical schools. The part of the curriculum was we're going to use these chemicals from the factories that we own.
And it's really a little more sinister than that.
Okay.
Think about it. So, all right, so you have the drug companies made a strong case for drugs being the best approach to help people. And then they got the insurance companies to back their approach.
Did they own the insurance companies too?
Or vice versa.
Uh-huh.
Right? You have to wonder about this.
Absolutely.
And yet, you know, the dissatisfaction by the consumer, the healthcare consumer with this approach, is evident by the fact that in the U.S., healthcare consumers are spending $30 billion every year on alternative medicine. Now, if there was satisfaction with mainstream or allopathic medicine, why would you go out and spend money out of pocket? Wouldn't you want your insurance to pay for it? According to a newly published study from the National Health Interview Survey, and they looked at over 44,000 individuals above the age of four, and that's where they came up with this number. So one has to wonder why people in America would spend that much money on what one prominent drug company referred to as eclectic and unconventional health approaches instead of mainstream.
What a very narrow-minded individual had to say with regard to unconventional. Unconventional is very often traditional medication, traditional food and herbal support for health.
So, you know, as we've mentioned before, when you talk about alternative medicine, it's really any other treatment besides prescription drugs, surgery, and radiation and chemo. That's all that mainstream medicine has to give you, because those are the big money makers. A lot of times, alternative medicine might focus on improving your diet, Now, when have you heard a doctor ever take time to tell you that you're bringing on this illness yourself because of your lifestyle and dietary habits? That would be considered alternative medicine.
Yes, it would, and very rarely do those words come out of the physician's mouths that, yes, you might consider making some changes and eliminating certain negative immune-suppressing foods from your daily routine.
Now, you know, as we mentioned, they came up with a number of over $30 billion spent for alternative treatments. And that's out of pocket. Insurances are not covering it. And that's over 60 million Americans each year, including over 4 million children. And when we talk about alternative approaches to health, that would include homeopathy, chiropractic, the use of supplements, mind-body therapy such as yoga, naturopathy, Ayurveda, special diets, hypnosis, acupuncture, chelation, massage, and energy healing.
I think when you say energy healing, Dr. Slavin, a lot of people might be rolling their eyes, but the truth of the matter is laying on of hands and energy manipulation is very effective.
And we're able to document that with some of the tests we do. The energy measurements we're able to do before and after a treatment. And you can see the improvement.
And you do that with the OnDemand here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine heart rate variability.
Well,
what are some of those
also
approaches?
The Zytoscan.
Okay.
So all these things involve energy medicine at the root of how our bodies function. It's all about energy. So to dismiss that as being irrelevant doesn't make any sense. When we talk about illness, we're talking about mitochondrial dysfunction. And what do the mitochondria do? Make energy. So energy medicine is really the basis of all health and disease.
If your cells don't have highly supported energy to function, you don't function.
Now you have homeopathy. You know, homeopathy is recognized in England. They say the Queen has her own homeopath.
It's recognized here in the United States. The FDA oversees homeopathic formulas and practices.
So the one thing all these approaches that we just mentioned have in common is they don't employ prescription drugs, because prescription drugs is the bulk of mainstream medicine, allopathic medicine. 90% of the practitioners are writing prescriptions. The other 10% are doing the surgery and the chemo and radiation. So it's prescriptionists.
There you go.
That you're going to.
It's very interesting, because I think if we probably did an evaluation of what the top five pharmaceutical sellers were, very much at the top, cholesterol-lowering drugs, antidepressants, blood pressure-lowering drugs, antibiotics, and I'm going to leave the fifth one blank, because it could be insomnia, it could be antidepressants, it could be a variety of different things. Maybe even those drugs that are acid blockers for all of the people who are dealing with burning, heartburn, indigestion.
So, you know, I'm still thinking about, the two things. The fact that so many people have to spend money out of pocket because their insurance will not pay for anything other than allopathic medicine. And, you know, who gave them that right to deprive the American public of the health care they desire? But I have to emphasize the point that they wouldn't be looking for alternatives if what was being provided to them was working. You know, if you're perfectly happy with something, you don't look for an alternative. But they look for alternatives, either it's not helping or it's making them sick, or in reality, it's too expensive. Even though their insurance covers it, when they go to the drugstore to buy all those drugs, you know, they can't afford that. And they look for something that makes more sense.
Since January, I have heard from so many of my clients that the cost of their prescription drugs has skyrocketed, so that what used to be a relatively reasonable cost every month has tripled, quadrupled, very much more expensive. And to be paying so much more out of pocket for something that typically was begun when insurance was covering it and not getting the results that you're looking for just doesn't make sense anymore.
Now, here's an interesting article, because we're not making this stuff up. Back in 2000, the Journal of the American Medical Association, otherwise known as JAMA, published an article about heart disease and cancer, and they said the American healthcare system is the third highest cause of preventable death in the U.S. In other words, you have heart disease number one, cancer number two, and the American healthcare system number three.
Doesn't that bring tears to your eyes, Dr. Slavin, that all of the citizens that are marching into their doctor's offices, that are responding to emails and mail from their insurance companies, you better go see your doctor, you better do this checkup, you better do this test. And unfortunately, what they're marching into is a preventable cause of death.
And despite having the most expensive healthcare system in the world, the United States ranks last among 11 industrialized countries when you measure the health system quality, efficiency, access to care, equity, and healthy lives. While there's room for improvement in every country, the U.S. stands out for having the highest costs and the lowest performance. The U.S. spent $8,508 per person on health care in 2011. In England, they spent $3,406. England ranked first overall. But here's the even a better number. There was a book out I would refer to from time to time, and the name of it was Where We Stand. And it was about comparing all the different countries. And when you talk about heart disease and cancer, and death rates, the U.S. and England are about the same, yet in England they're getting the same results for less than half the money spent per person. So why are we spending so much money is a question. We're not getting a good return on that investment. Now here's that JAMA article. I guess we'll have to talk about that after the break.
And that music means it's time for us to pause here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back. Don't have time to juice today? Maybe you're traveling and you can't juice. The easy quality solution is JanaJuice. Two capsules gives you antioxidant benefits. The benefits of superfruits, acai, noni, goji, mangosteen, those are just a few of the juice extracts in Jana Juice from Janet's Best Formulas. Visit janazon.com to learn more.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex test and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Janabiotic is a way to support your immune system, as well as enhance the function of your digestive tract and help to maintain regularity. One or two capsules per day provide the basic chemistry needed for healthy gastrointestinal function. Support your good health with the profile of probiotic ingredients in Janabiotic. Find out about Janabiotic at Janazon.com. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we are talking about the risks you face when you go to see your doctor. And you think, okay, I shouldn't be facing any risks. I should be very happy that I'm going to receive the best health care in the world. Dr. Slavin, where do we rate in the world?
Well, but also, who gives the insurance companies and the drug companies the right to dictate what type of health care you should get? Especially, you would think the insurance company would love alternative medicine. It's a lot less expensive.
Isn't that interesting? So doesn't that tell you right there that the drug companies and the pharmaceutical companies are interacting? I think sometimes they call that collusion, don't they?
Probably.
Okay, the list of deaths.
Maybe it's just rigged.
Oh, just plain rigged. Hey,
yeah.
Okay.
So back to that article in JAMA in the year 2000. It was authored by Dr. Barbara Starfield, and we talked about her before because she's dead now, and she died from a hospital mistake.
Ooh.
She was the co-founder of the scientific organization devoted to addressing inequity in healthcare, indicated that fatal events from iatrogenic causes. You know what the word iatrogenic means?
I do, but I think you're going to tell us.
It's a short, definition is doctor caused.
Right.
So it's due to physicians or hospitals' activity, manner, or therapy, and they're responsible for 210,000 deaths of Americans every year. So how does that happen? And it's important that you know that. What it's the saying, forewarned is forearmed, or something like that?
There you go. Yes.
So you have to know this. So
Dr. Barbara Starfield knew this, and she went into the hospital.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
Okay, so deaths are related to diagnostic errors of omission and failure to follow guidelines. The number skyrocketed to 440,000 deaths that are considered preventable hospital deaths each year. And that's a big number. So how does it break down? You have 12,000 deaths a year due to unnecessary surgery. So how do you avoid unnecessary surgery? At least get a second opinion. Ask questions. And sometimes when I send a patient for a second opinion, I don't send them to another surgeon. I send them to another doctor that deals in the field but's not a surgeon. Because I've had instances where, the patient's been recommended surgery, I sent them to for the second opinion. And they said, no, it was orthopedic surgery. I said, no, physical therapy will help. And it did. So when you go in for surgery, you're not dying from the surgery per se. You're dying from complications of the surgery, like infections. Then you have another 7,000 deaths per year due to medication errors.
So very common. You must know what your physician is prescribing and ask about every medication given to you in the hospital.
Now, the interesting thing, if you saw that expose on medical mistakes, I think it was, the child, it was a one-year-old being treated for cancer, died after her last dose of chemo because they mixed the IV bag wrong. And so you can't even, so you say, yeah, I want to know what my pills look like, but with an IV bag, you don't even know. Now you're trusting some stranger to hopefully mix it up right, because you can, that can cause serious problems.
Then there's the family member who was given a 24-hour intravenous with warfarin. Is that what you use intravenously? A blood thinner,
heparin,
the day before surgery. So how did that happen?
Right. Well, these are some of the mistakes that are made. You have another 20,000 deaths per year due to other errors in hospitals. You have 80,000 deaths per year due to infections in hospital. Now, these are infections that you didn't go into the hospital with. These are hospital-acquired infections, which are even more dangerous because they're frequently drug-resistant.
And aren't these statistics from 16 years ago, Dr. Slavin?
Yeah.
So the numbers are increasing.
Not necessarily, though. Hopefully, you know, they saw these numbers and they implemented more regulations and policies to help prevent these mistakes. But I have to tell you, they make doctors, you know, doctors have to have continuing medical education. And one of the areas that they're required to take on a regular basis is medical errors. They want doctors to be aware of how to prevent medical errors. Now, when you talk about 20,000 deaths due to other errors, that could be illegible handwriting errors, for example. Now you have 106,000 deaths per year due to the negative effects of drugs. In other words, the drugs were prescribed properly, administered properly, but some of the adverse effects killed the patient. So this is helping everyone understand why people are seeking out alternatives, but this is unacceptable, especially when, as I pointed out, you know, one of the reasons, you know, after 30, I guess I was on staff of hospitals for over 30 years, but it was a rare patient that I had to put in the hospital, and usually it was because of an injury. They fell and injured themselves. I had to go into the hospital. So if I'm able to keep so many patients out of the hospital, why can't other doctors do that? You know, that's my challenge.
Their continuing education is 180 degrees from the focus of your continuing education?
Well, that, and also, doctors realize that half of their revenue or their income is in hospitalized patients. So they want to keep that hospital stream coming in. They don't want to empty out the hospitals either. Plus, they get recognized by the hospital as being a great doctor if they admit a lot of patients. And I would think that doesn't make sense. You know, the great doctor is the one that doesn't need to put patients in the hospital.
Oh. It's very interesting, the proliferation and growth of hospitals here in the United States. Dr. Slavin, haven't you noticed that different hospitals have expanded and expanded and expanded and increased their specialty departments and are reaching out to the community more and more and more? And maybe it's that I observe that in for-profit hospitals, but it just seems like the hospitals that I'm familiar with over the years here in South Florida, I've seen tremendous growth in all of them.
Well, they put in the cardiac care.
Right. Units, yeah, know, that's the moneymaker for the hospitals.
Surgery. Right. So in answer to the question, I thought they would have implemented better policies to prevent all those iatrogenic mistakes that are causing over 200,000 deaths a year. Well, here's how they address the problem. When the data becomes too bogged down with uncomfortable or potentially damaging information, what the government does is hide the statistics. And this was made known in USA Today back in 2014. And here's what they said. The federal government this month quietly stopped publicly reporting when hospitals leave foreign objects in patients' bodies or make a host of other life-threatening mistakes. The change, which the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services denied last year that it was making, means people are out of luck if they want to search which hospitals cause high rates of problems, such as air embolisms, which are air bubbles that can kill patients when it enters the veins or the heart, or giving people the wrong blood type or the transfusion. Foreign objects may be retained after surgery twice as often as the government estimates, or up to 6,000 times a year. Sponges can embed in intestines, which account for more than two-thirds of all incidents. And I can understand why that happens, but if you've ever been, well, I know most of you haven't been in an OR. When I talk about a sponge, it's really, it's gauze.
Gauze.
But what they have attached to the gauze is a long ribbon with a ring at the end of it. So when I put the gauze in, when it gets soaked with blood, you can't distinguish it from the surrounding tissue, so you can't see it. So you have this long ribbon with a ring at the end, which is kept outside of the opening, so they don't lose the gauze, and then they have a count. They're supposed to be very thorough and say, okay, we're using 10 sponges. Make sure we take out 10 sponges. But even with that, I guess mistakes are made. And then you go on to say, patients who survive those complications, errors, the complications from that can last a lifetime. At one time, you had, MRSA, which is the methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, or foreign objects left behind were the most common problems in hospitals. The new guidelines, make it impossible to find that information out anymore.
It's interesting that they have removed from the list 8 of the very common hospital-acquired infections.
Well, conditions, not just infections. So the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which, by the way, haven't we said that's not really a government agency?
Yes, very important for people to understand that.
Doesn't hamper itself by publishing medical error information or making any provision for reporting iatrogenic causes for its mortality statistics. Those are circumvented completely, so it lists respiratory disease as the third most prevalent cause of death. So that explains it. We see the statistics. Hospital errors should be number 3, but since they're not counting those mistakes anymore, you don't see it. And here's the other thing that I've mentioned before. The death certificate have no box at the bottom where you can designate a medical error as the cause of death. Instead, the cause of death will simply default to the patient's original complaint. Even if a doctor records medical errors on a death certificate, it's not included in the CDC's mortality statistics. So, for example, as happens more frequently than would ever be reported anyway, is patient goes in for chemotherapy and they die during that hospitalization, the death certificate will say the cancer they died from, not from the chemotherapy. So these are the reasons why patients are becoming concerned about this type of health care.
That music means it's time for another break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back after these messages. Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We are talking about the state of health care, and I'm going to go back and say the state of disease care here in the United States. And certainly, those over the age of 55, 60, those are the most prominent, I would say most prominent age category for consumption of medical care here in the United States. Medication-related problems among... Take your breath away, Dr. Slavin?
Well, it does, and people don't realize just how dangerous the drugs are. But I don't want our listeners to think we're bashing mainstream medicine.
Why don't you
We're just trying to hold them accountable. Because mainstream medicine does a lot of good things.
Well, okay. So, yes, when you have an injury, when you have an infection that your immune system isn't able to handle. So, yes, indeed, medicine... realm for treatment of whatever need to do so with their eyes open, and hopefully that's what we're doing.
And they have great diagnostic tools like MRIs and CAT scans to figure out what's wrong with people.
I'm sorry, Dr. Slavin, I think that really high-tech diagnostic approach sometimes misses basics, and if something is not...
Well, the thing that's lacking in this country, in the healthcare system, and isn't that name misleading, the healthcare system, is healthcare. We have disease care.
Right.
There's no healthcare.
No.
There's nobody helping people stay healthy. And that's the biggest complaint. You get into the healthcare system, and you actually risk your life. And what's happening, too, is if you were to interview doctors and nurses... More and more of them are looking into alternative healthcare options for themselves because they see firsthand the shortcomings of the drug approach.
I have a lot of doctors' wives as clients, so the doctors aren't necessarily focused on supporting their good health through diet, exercise, nutrition support, and so on, but their wives kind of take care of that.
Now, the whole system of healthcare in this country is based on treating symptoms, which is basically managing the illness instead of looking for the cure. And if you you can't find a cure or cure an illness if you can't identify the underlying cause, which they don't look for. They identify the underlying symptom, and they treat the symptom.
Okay, so when the symptom goes away, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have achieved health.
And of course, and I think most of us are aware of this, you can give us some examples in a second, that natural cancer treatments that work are suppressed by conventional medical machine. And even more importantly, many of the preventive measures that are available, and that should be the role, is, you know, keep people healthy. They're simpler and less expensive than allowing people to get sick. And we're just trying to, you know, make people more aware that if they want to try and stay as healthy as they can, it's up to them. If they go to a doctor, that means you've allowed yourself to get sick. So that means you've missed an opportunity.
And unfortunately, the doctors are unaware of the activities of many of the natural approaches to supporting good health and overcoming uncontrollable cellular proliferation, inflammation, and so on. And what's interesting here is they'll tell their patient, oh, if it makes you feel better, go ahead and use it. It's not that it's really doing anything. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is bicarbonate of soda, baking soda, dramatically alkalizing your body. When you alkalize your body, you're reducing inflammation and you're creating a background body chemistry that is unfavorable to the proliferation of cancer cells. Very, very basic.
But a better way would be just to make your diet a little more vegetarian.
I don't necessarily agree
reduce
with...
Reduce the amount of, meat and poultry, because those are all acidified. Yeah.
Right. Well, a balanced diet should be that. Balanced, not too heavy in animal products. And I'm not necessarily... a proponent of a vegetarian diet. It's appropriate for certain segments of the population, but I also think that others need some of that lean animal protein, and the watchword there is quality. Grass-fed, no antibiotics, no hormones given to the animal source products that you consume.
I didn't say you should be a vegetarian. I said cut back on the amount of protein because we're overdoing the protein.
You said a vegetarian diet.
More vegetarian.
Okay.
More vegetables.
Okay, we're arm wrestling here.
All right, it's semantics. But
okay.
In other words, I think, it's been stated more than once that a high-protein diet tends to be a little more carcinogenic.
I'm not promoting high-protein.
Yeah, we want to say, cut back a little bit on all the protein people are eating.
I think the watchword here is quality.
For both, quality and quantity.
So, balance, you want nuts and seeds, you want, I am in agreement with you, Dr. Slavin, with regard to grains. You want to absolutely minimize grains, but lean animal source protein, high quality eggs from free range chickens, that kind of thing.
Now, I guess this would come under the category of brainwashing. If you hear a statement often enough, you tend to believe it. Well, here's what the American Society for Consultant Pharmacists state on their website, in quotes, "While medications are probably the single most important factor in improving the quality of life for older Americans, the nation's seniors are especially at risk for medication-related problems due to physiological changes of aging, higher incidence of multiple chronic diseases and conditions, and greater consumption of prescription and over-the-counter medications." Well, I agree with the last part. I don't agree with the first part, that drugs are the single most important factor in improving the quality of life for older Americans.
I think that so many older Americans are prescribed drugs completely inappropriately. There is a very different way of metabolizing drugs when you are a senior. There is no acknowledgement of the potential interaction when you are on 10, 12, 14 different medications.
And the other thing, too, is since older patients metabolize their drugs more slowly, you have to really use much lower dosages of those drugs if you're going to use them.
And you think about the potential for liver toxicity, the buildup of these medications in the bloodstream and the effect that it can have on your brain, your immune system. It's an overwhelming concept to take in.
And if we would ask ourselves, or maybe ask the doctor, why do we get sick? We used to say when they didn't have a good answer for that, well, it's your genetics. In other words, they would blame the patient. That's why they got sick. Now we know under the area of medicine called epigenetics that the genes really don't play the big role. It's the environment that plays the big role. So to answer that question, why does one get sick? Most of the time, it's their lifestyle choices, and that includes their dietary choices. It includes their exercise or lack of exercise. It includes their sleeping habits. Of course, under lifestyle choices, you know, smoking, drinking, or they could think about this, or they could be eating a real healthy diet. And I have to tell you, it pays off. When I see patients who are extremely healthy, it follows that their diet is extremely healthy, too.
When you look at patients' blood work, Dr. Slavin, can't you very surely tell which patients are eating very well? I see blood work all the time, and when I'm looking at it, regardless of what they're telling me, they might say, I have a very healthy diet. But then when I find out about the details, sometimes I wouldn't categorize it as very healthy.
And people are really trying to pay attention to their health a lot of times, and they're following the advice they see on television as far as commercials go and everything. And they're still promoting low fat, which means when you say low fat, then you're swapping to high carbohydrate. But high carbohydrate means high sugar, and sugar is a dangerous substance.
It's interesting because I had a client yesterday, and she repeatedly told me that she was following a low-fat diet, and I repeatedly asked her, why are you following a low-fat diet? What you want to focus on is quality fats for your immune system, your liver, your hormones, your brain.
Exactly, quality fats, and people are avoiding that, and they even advertise that on the packaging of foods. No fat or low fat, but they should say after that, low fat, high sugar, because that's what it is. They're replacing the fats with something. So a good example of that is low fat milk. If you look at low fat milk, they replace the calories from fat with sugar, with the lactose, which is the milk sugar and everything. You see higher levels of carbohydrates in the low fat milk compared to the whole milk.
And people have kind of been misled with that whole lactose thing. They talk very frequently to me about I am lactose intolerant. And the truth of the matter is they may be very much lactose intolerant, but also milk protein, casein intolerant. And that is a contributing factor to their unpleasant digestive response to dairy products. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. And as always, we have that eye-opening information that you need in order to navigate the disease care system here in the United States. Dr. Slavin?
So, you know, the question I posed was, why do we get sick? And, you know, most of it I think we have control over. That's our lifestyle, our diets. There are things we don't have control over. When I mentioned this to Janet, and she feels strongly about it, I don't know, do you have a smart meter on your house?
I do. And
is it on the least on the opposite side of the house from where the bedrooms are?
Well, it's on a bedroom that it's on the wall of a bedroom that is occupied. And my understanding of it is that radiation penetrates walls.
Maybe we could put lead lining on that wall.
Well, if for a certain amount of money, additional money each month, you can have the smart meter removed and your meter would be read every month rather than have this computer connection.
It might be cheaper to put some kind of lead lining or something to block the entrance of the...
Okay, that might defeat the purpose of that smart meter because then would not necessarily be able to communicate with the surrounding residences.
I would think you're entitled to put lining in your house.
I am.
You know? So they say the radiation emitted from smart meters is 100 times greater than cell phones, and the exposure is constant. And that's the warning of a doctor.
You mentioned cell phones, Dr. Slavin. The cell phone towers and the radiation associated with them is very much an issue because the cell phone towers are proliferating like crazy.
Now, when I mentioned this report to Janet, she talked about another form of radiation that is entering the environment.
And what I'm talking about are the nuclear reactors that are here in South Florida. Turkey Point and South Dade is supposedly, I don't know necessarily how to confirm this information, but according to the Miami Herald, Turkey Point nuclear power plant is leaking radiation. And also in, I believe it's Martin County, north of here, there is another nuclear power plant, and supposedly that is leaking. So our cell phones, our smart meters, our cell phone towers, and these nuclear power plants, the radiation level that we are exposed to is incredibly high. And so one of the things that I tell people, you want to pay very close attention to your iodine levels. And at advanced medical testing centers, you can just come in, request an iodine test to determine how supported your iodine levels are. You don't necessarily need a prescription if you're paying for it out of pocket. So advanced medical testing centers will help you understand the importance of the iodine content in your body.
So you said something about being able to confirm it. It's been confirmed. And the way it's been confirmed is there's a radioactive isotope linked to water from power plant cooling canals, and it's been found in high levels in Biscayne Bay, confirming suspicions that Turkey Point's aging canals are leaking into the nearby national parks. But like we said earlier, with all the mistakes that the healthcare system is making, they stopped collecting data. Seems to me that that's what's going on here. They're not looking for the ramifications that these leaks are causing.
So it's really interesting. Imagine the radiation that the wildlife in the Everglades is being exposed to. Then you think about all of the chemicals that they're being exposed to from the sugar-growing runoff.
The Miami-Dade County mayor said that water samples taken in December and January found tritium levels up 215 times higher than normal in ocean water. The report doesn't address risks to the public or marine life, but tritium is typically monitored as a tracer of nuclear power plant leaks or spills. But why aren't they addressing the safety of the public or marine life?
It's very interesting that you don't get very much of this information with regard to the local nuclear power plants, but we have been informed that the radiation from Fukushima is now reaching Florida.
And they go on to say, and again, this was published in the Miami Herald, the study comes 2 weeks after a Tallahassee judge ordered the utility, FPNL, to, and the state, to clean up the nuclear plant's cooling canals after concluding that they had caused a massive underground saltwater plume to migrate west, threatening a well field that supplies drinking water to the Florida Keys. The judge also found the state failed to address the pollution by crafting a faulty management plan. And they go on to say that critics have long stated, and they raise these questions now about what they've suspected, that the canals are beginning to run too hot and salty in the summer after the FPNL overhauled two reactors to produce more power. And when they did that, it seems the pollution increased as well.
So we have so many assaults to our health and well-being, but we do have the capacity to test to see how our bodies are handling these assaults, and we do have the information for supporting our bodies with minerals, trace minerals, and then choosing very high quality organic foods. Important to stress, vegetables of all sorts, raw and cooked, and to be drinking high quality water.
You know, I guess when you want to question our elected officials, this could be a question. What are you doing about this problem?
Dr. Slavin, do you think that possibly our elected officials tend to focus on political compatriots, not necessarily individuals for the position who would be most highly qualified?
Well, far be it from me to become political.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I think everybody witnessed this week just how corrupt the whole political system is. When we pay their salaries and they're supposed to be serving the public, I think, you know, people have to pay more attention and hold our elected officials accountable.
Feet to the fire, so to speak.
You know, just like we have to hold the healthcare system accountable, why do we spend so much money and rank last among industrialized nations? You know, it's there are industries in the healthcare system making tons of money, but we're not getting the benefit from that expenditure, and that's what it's about.
Okay, and so if you turn over your power to another institution or another individual, I am going to say you are vulnerable to their priorities. That's why I think it's crucially important for individuals to support their well-being, educate themselves about the best way to enhance health, educate themselves about the importance of avoiding those toxic substances, both the tangible and intangible. We don't necessarily feel the radiation, but that radiation is taking a toll on us. We don't necessarily feel glyphosate contamination in our foods, but that chemical is taking a toll on us.
And again, it's just about accountability. In other words, if an elected official, or how about this, a pre-elected official, makes promises in order to get elected, somebody should hold him accountable for the promises he makes.
Well, that whole system seems askew when it's dependent on how many millions of dollars a candidate raises, and the one that raises the most money can buy the most television advertisements and then have that familiarity with the electorate because of being seen so repeatedly on television.
Well, my personal opinion is, if someone gets elected because of the promises they make and then they break the promises once they're elected, that should be grounds for a recall election. Because, you know, because I see that happening over and over again in this country. Promises made, promises broken, and nothing happens.
We promise you here on Natural Doc Radio that you will get high quality information to support your good health. And if elected, I will promise to deliver. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at 10.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.